Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And today we are really going to find out how toxic the world is, because I have some guests from Washington Toxics Coalition who are going to tell us about studies and reports and all kinds of things that tell us what toxic chemicals are in children's products. But first I want to say happy Pollution Prevention Week. The third full week in September is always Pollution Prevention Week. And, you know, I've been doing this all these many years, 30 years, and I didn't know every year when is Pollution Prevention Week, but evidently it's been going on for a while, launched by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and it's dedicated to preventing and reducing pollution. According to the EPA, the U.S. annually produces millions of tons of pollution and spends tens of billions of dollars per year controlling it in the form of cleanups, stormwater management, and education, and other things. So this week, and this week only, the EPA encourages us to look at our lifestyles and brainstorm changes we can make in our daily lives. Well, we do that every day here, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern. That's exactly what we do. Look at our lifestyles and find out what kind of changes we can make in our daily lives. Some examples, according to the EPA, include saving energy and money by looking for the Energy Star label to find energy-efficient electronics and appliances. And that does really reduce pollution going out in the environment that is generated by energy use. Also, we can save water by looking for the Water Sense label to find water-efficient products, which can save over 5,000 gallons of water per year per household and keep water supplies at safe levels. That's a good thing to do. The EPA also urges us to pick safer products by looking for the EPA's Design for the Environment Safer Product label. Plus, there are many, many, many other things, and we talk about those here. Okay, let's see what else. That's about all we need to say about this. So, but as long as we're talking about millions of things, Washington Toxics Coalition, whose representatives are here today, sent out an email this week in which they revealed that the American Chemistry Council, the ACC, spends, how much do you think? $100 million a year to continue to use toxic chemicals while people like Washington Toxics and you and I are fighting to stop toxic chemicals. They're spending $100 million a year in order to keep them on the market. That's a lot of money. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my guests now. Hi, Erica and Nancy. Are you both there?
Hi, Deborah.
I'm here. This is Erica. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Well, it's afternoon here, but it's morning or afternoon everywhere yeah. That somebody's listening, probably. They're from the Washington Toxics Coalition, and Washington Toxics Coalition does a lot of things that they'll tell you about. But what we're going to be talking about today is their report, Chemicals Revealed, which analyzes reports filed with the Washington State Department of Ecology by manufacturers in compliance with the state's Children's Safe Products Act of 2008. And more than 5,000 reports that were filed that contain chemicals that is on Washington State's list of 66 chemicals of concern. And they found 41 of those chemicals that are a problem for children's health in those 5,000 reports, the same chemicals over and over again. So, Erica, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about how you personally got interested in toxic chemicals?
Well, I've been here at the Washington Toxics Coalition for more than 15 years, but I did get here in kind of a roundabout way. My training is in molecular biology and in plant ecology, and so I was actually doing research on sustainable agricultural practices and got interested in pesticides. And so I actually worked on pesticides for a number of years here at the Toxics Coalition, trying to build up our sustainable agriculture here in Washington and also get some restrictions in place to eliminate the use of some of the most toxic pesticides. And from there, I broadened out to working on other toxic chemicals, and that's where I am today.
Very good. Nancy, how did you get into toxic chemicals?
Well, I've been interested in toxic chemicals through my education and early professional life. I've studied ecosystems and environmental engineering. And I also worked in hazardous waste management professionally. But toxic chemicals really kind of hit home for me once I started a family. I have a daughter who was diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum and with learning disabilities. And the big learning I had from that situation is that a lot of these issues that our young children are having to deal with, there can be kind of a combination of genetic predisposition plus an environmental assault. And I know many, many families in a similar situation. And so a lot of times I feel like this environmental assault can very well include toxic chemicals. So in my personal choices to work with my daughter and her issues, we used some of the so-called alternative treatments for autism spectrum, which included things like chelating for heavy metals and doing some toxic protocols with a naturopathic physician. So I really hits home for me because so many young people and so many individuals have different sensitivities, and it varies by the individual.
Yes.
And so I think we need to be really looking at what we can do to really minimize exposure that everyone has to toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I agree. When I first became interested myself more than 30 years ago, it was because toxic chemicals were making me sick, and it started with my immune system. But as I started studying it, I went, wait a minute, it's not just about me being sensitive like an allergy. I'm not just this unique person. There are toxic chemicals in consumer products that are poisoning everyone. And that's when I started writing about it, because this is something we can do something about. We don't have to just sit here and be poisoned. So tell us about Washington Toxics. When did that start, and what do you do as an organization?
Well, we're a 30-year-old organization, so we've been here in Washington for quite some time. And we also, as an organization, started out by working on pesticides, helping local community groups fight spraying, especially in forest settings. But today we are a tightly focused organization working to create a healthier and just world by promoting safer products, safer chemicals and practices to create a healthier future. And we do that using groundbreaking research, we use top-notch advocacy, grassroots organizing, and we provide consumer information.
Good. I actually read a lot of what you write and the organization produces, and I have long admired your organization for the research that you do, because the research needs to be done. So let's talk about your Chemicals Revealed report. Why don't we start with the Washington State Children's Safe Products Act? What's that about?
Yeah, I can give you some background on that and how this information came to be. So it was back in 2007, you probably remember, and I'm sure a lot of listeners remember, that it was summer of 2007 we found out that Thomas the Tank Engine had lead, and that toy was not alone, that many of the toys our kids' favorite toys were contaminated with high levels of lead. And, you know, it came as a shock to many people that that was actually legal, as long as it wasn't in the paint. You know, we allowed lead in toys and other children's products. And so we had actually been working at that time to test children's products, because we had found using an XRF analyzer that a lot of children's products had lead, arsenic, cadmium. And so we were concerned about it, and actually in the middle of doing testing of kids' products right when that news started to break. So we were poised and ready with legislation to propose, which eventually became the Children's Safe Products Act, which was passed in 2008.
Okay, yeah. I need to interrupt you because we need to go to a break, but we can talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guests today are Erica Schrader and Nancy Uding from Washington Toxics Coalition, and we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guests today are Erica Schrader and Nancy Uding from Washington Toxics Coalition, and we're talking about their report called Chemicals Revealed, which is about toxic chemicals in children's products that they studied more than 5,000 children's products and found 41 chemicals known to the state of Washington to be harmful to children. You were talking about the Washington State Children's Safe Products Act, so tell us more about that.
So the act did two things. One, it banned some of the chemicals that we knew were already showing up in children's products, and those were lead, cadmium, and phthalates. And then the other thing it did was set up a system where we could learn more about what toxics were present in kids' products, because, you know, I think the lead surprise really taught us that there was a lot we didn't know, and government agencies didn't have that information, members of the public didn't have the information, and so we didn't really know where to go next to make those products safer. So the law set up a system that requires manufacturers to report when products that they sell or market to children contain chemicals that cause cancer, hormone disruption, nervous system toxicity, et cetera.
Yes. Go ahead, Nancy.
This is Nancy. This system for reporting, the reporting requirements actually kicked in last year in 2012. And so with Chemicals Revealed, we took the first two rounds of reporting by manufacturers, reports to the state, and for the chemicals that they are in products that they've been selling in the state of Washington over the time period. So Chemicals Revealed is a summary of the information that is in all of those manufacturers' reports. And so we were surprised. I mean, it was very shocking to see that over 5,000 products on shelves in stores in Washington State contain toxic chemicals, and these are children's products. So we wanted to put this report together so people had access to this information, because this is really one-of-a-kind information. There isn't any other reporting requirement like this anywhere else in the country. And, of course, many of the manufacturers were selling products in Washington State with these chemicals. They're selling in other parts of the country as well.
It seems to me when I hear the idea that there needs to be a report that a manufacturer needs to say, yes, I have these toxic chemicals in my product, I get chills, because like, what kind of a person would knowingly make and sell a product where they would sign a piece of paper that says, yes, I'm making a product that says that has toxic chemicals that are known to cause harm to children? I just think that that's an amazing thing that even exists in the world.
Yeah, it is amazing that it even exists in the world, and the reason it does is we don't have adequate laws that are protecting us from these chemicals. And so our federal laws are the Toxic Substances Control Act, that's supposed to be protecting us from toxic chemicals, is really doing a very poor job of mm-hmm. protecting us, and that's why we do actions like this at the state level, so we can protect people where we can. But part of it, too, is that people just don't really know. A lot of times when we talk about toxic chemicals being in children's products, a lot of people, when they hear that, are just shocked, because it's like, really? Aren't we protecting our children, and aren't our laws working for us?
No.
Well, it's good that we have this information, because people can start to realize that we aren't being adequately protected and we need to go further and pass new policies both at the state and at the national level to protect ourselves and our children. And in the spirit of Pollution Prevention Week, you know, that's a change that we can make in our daily life, is to get involved in the process.
Absolutely.
Both in our own states and at the federal level, and try and get these chemicals off the shelves.
Are these chemicals required to be revealed on the labels of the products?
No, they aren't.
So the way it's set up is there's a public database. So, they don't have to be on the label, but a member of the public can look on the database and get the information. It's not, unfortunately, product-specific, so it's a little bit more general than that. So, for example, Walmart would have to report instead of, Princess Barbie doll contains this phthalate, they would instead report that dolls contain this phthalate.
I think that every single product should be required to somewhere. I mean, I understand about trade secrets and I understand about labeling laws and things like that. But I think that consumers need to know what's in the products, and that every single product should either on their label or on their website or on, there should be some database somewhere, even if it's not publicly accessible, that says everything that's in every product. Because I know that, I mean, children can be poisoned and can be, have an acute poisoning, immediate poisoning, and you can go to the poison control center and they can't find out what's in products. This is just...
I believe that, we have the right to know what's in everything that we're using. But again, the laws and the manufacturing processes can be very complex. And also the information that we know about these chemicals, it sort of changes over time. Like there are a lot of chemicals right now that are out on the market that are being used and are in the products that we're using. Right now we don't even know what kind of harm they can cause because the research and the science isn't up to date on some of them. So
I
agree. Pretty much our sort of approach is that we want to keep these chemicals out of product first and foremost, and that the best way to do so is to work on changing some of our chemical policies. And that also we want to protect everyone because, like when I was a new mom, I had no idea, what some of the kinds of toxic hazards were that I had to look out for. So yeah. I want somebody to, we want to protect everybody, too. We don't want to have consumers have to look at labels.
Wouldn't that be great if we didn't have to read labels?
I know, that would be great.
We need to take another break. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And we'll be back with my guests, Erica Schrader and Nancy Uding from Washington Toxics Coalition. And when we come back, we'll hear more about their report, Chemicals Revealed. Over 5,000 kids' products contain toxic chemicals. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. If you'd like to read this report we're talking about called Chemicals Revealed from the Washington Toxics Coalition, you can go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and scroll down until you see today's show. All the shows are listed for this week. And at the end of the description of the show, there's the URL for the page that has this report on it. And you can go to the WashingtonToxics.org website, and it's there. It's WATOxics.org.
Yes,
WATOxics.org. WATOxics.org, yes. Yes. And there's lots and lots and lots of information there. When you go to their website, you can get a lot of information. You can sign up for their newsletter, and they'll send you alerts and all kinds of things. And you can also make a donation, because remember, the American Chemical Council is spending $100 million a year to support the continued use of toxic chemicals and to make there not be stringent regulations that would prevent the use of toxic chemicals. They have $100 million a year, and we have us. So everybody needs to help.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Tell us some of the specific findings in the report.
Well, some of the specific findings, I mean, there's a lot of reports. There's 5,000 reports. So one thing that we did in Chemicals Revealed was sort of summarize some of the, the main types of chemicals that we saw being reported. And so Some of those chemicals are toxic heavy metals, such as mercury, cadmium, and then a couple of newcomers that we don't hear too much about, molybdenum, antimony, and cobalt were reported. Cobalt was reported over 1,000 times. Also had a few reports of arsenic, believe it or not, which is quite surprising. We also saw a lot of phthalates on the list reported, and phthalates are they're used as
plasticizers,
and they're used in a lot of different products. We saw them in all kinds of things: clothing, toys, baby products, and these phthalates are hormone disruptors, so they're of a concern in that regard. But many, many products contain phthalates. And then there were other things like industrial solvents that appeared to be contaminants in the manufacturing process. Solvents like ethylene glycol, which we also know as antifreeze, methyl ethyl ketone, toluene, those kinds of industrial solvents. There's traces of those chemicals in many of these products. And you were remarking there were 41 chemicals off of the list of 66 of high concern to children. One thing we did see, too, is that in terms of products reported, clothing was reported the most often, with almost 3,000 of the reports for clothing, and then combined with footwear. So that really raises some red flags for us. The issue of clothing is something that we probably ought to be looking at more closely. There are also a lot of toys and games and children's jewelry and accessories. Again, many baby products such as baby car seats and baby bath and safety products and changing mats. A lot of bedding, a lot of arts and crafts supplies. So just a wide variety of products that people use every day and that their children are in contact with every day.
Something like clothing, they're wearing it all day long, or bedding, they're sleeping in a bed all night long, and their skin is touching this, and it's very easy for these toxic chemicals and metals to get right in through their skin. This is just, I wanted to ask you, I'm looking at the report, and so I just want to clarify, the companies that we're reporting are retailers, not manufacturers?
The companies that are reporting are manufacturers, and that's kind of a complicated situation because some retailers manufacture their own brands,
right,
or their own products. And so in that case, they would be reporting their products. In other cases, and this is a little tricky area with the whole reporting requirement, there are some retailers that they have products manufactured for them that they purchase, and then they sell the product. Some manufacturers consider themselves as the manufacturer and responsible for reporting, but we do see other retailers seem to take a different interpretation of that and don't consider themselves the manufacturer. So, we see some companies that should probably be reporting more products that aren't because they don't consider themselves a manufacturer. An interesting thing is that some of the biggest reporters, the manufacturers, actually have policies in place in their companies where they do have chemical restrictions lists. And so they are taking the step to reduce their chemical use in the manufacturing process. And so we like to really commend some of these companies for doing this. But in terms of why they're reporting so many products, it could be just because they know more about their products. They've been investigating it further and that they're actually learning more about what toxic chemicals they're using. So
On other shows, I've been talking to manufacturers who are looking to see what the toxic chemical use is down in different layers, not just the top layer of what's the ingredient that goes into the final making of the product, but what are the chemicals and processes that go into making the ingredients and down several layers. And so I think that you're exactly right, because the general public isn't really aware of how much attention is being paid to toxics in on the manufacturing level. And I think that there are some companies in particular that are taking this extremely seriously and are doing their best to gradually over time replace those toxic chemicals with less toxic chemicals or remove them altogether. And so there is progress being made, and I think that you're right that if they're reporting, it's because they know. Because I've been doing this for a long time, and I've talked to manufacturers, say, 20 years ago, where they didn't have a clue about anything. It's just, well, I buy this container, and I mix it with this other container, and that's how their products. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back after this with Erica Schrader and Nancy Uding from Washington Toxics Coalition. We're talking about their report, Chemicals Revealed, and finding out about the toxic chemicals that are in children's products. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And today my guests are Erica Schrader and Nancy Uding from Washington Toxics Coalition. And they wrote a report called Chemicals Revealed that tells us about toxic chemicals in children's products. Can you tell us, why is there more of a concern for children than adults?
Well, there's a few reasons that we're more concerned about kids. The primary one is that they're still developing. So if you have any sort of toxic insult, then it can affect them, you know, the rest of their lives because their systems are still developing. But also they are less able to detoxify than adults are. And they tend to have greater exposures because, you know, pound for pound, they eat more food, drink more water, breathe more air than adults do. And so by and large, they tend to actually have, you know, greater concentrations of these compounds in their bodies.
Yes, they do. It's, people really need to keep in mind that if an adult and a child and a baby are all in the same room, the adult is going to have, they're all going to have the same exposure, but the adult's body is much bigger than the child's, and the child's is bigger than the baby's. And so really, when you have a newborn baby in a toxic home, that baby's getting more exposure than anybody else. And we really need to be watching out for that, because as you said, things that you're exposed to, just newborns are in the womb, things that babies are exposed to, that it sets them up for having a healthy life or not a healthy life. And we need to keep that in mind. It's very important. Another thing that I see here in the report is a sentence that says, the use of hazardous chemicals in children's products is unnecessary. And I totally agree with you on that. And I just want to let people know that even though there are many toxic products for children, there are also many not toxic products for children. There's organic clothing, there's organic bedding, there's toys made out of natural materials, and all these products, even though they're a small percentage of what's in the marketplace, they all do exist, and the parents can make those choices. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and go up to the top of the page, there's a button that says shop. If you click on there, it'll take you to Deborah's List, which is my compilation of many hundreds of websites that sell products that do not contain these toxic chemicals. So,
yes, all right. And, another thing people can do is, in their search for toxic-free products, is if you have retailers in your local area and you want to be able to purchase toxic-free products, please contact your retailers and tell them that you support having toxic-free products available, and would they please
absolutely
take some of the toxic products off their shelves and put less toxic and non-toxic products out there for people to purchase.
Oh, don't you think it would be nice if some consumers got together and demonstrated in front of some of these retailers that they could carry signs out front that says, no more toxic products?
Well, you know, people do that. That is definitely a strategy. it's also good to just start by, you know, making a phone call and saying that you are a regular shopper at the store and, you know, I really want to reduce the amount of toxic chemicals that are on the that I'm exposed to and my kids are exposed to. And mm-hmm. just ask them, would they please take some of these products off their shelf?
Well, I do know that some of the, I know that there are certain, there's a program called Mind the Store. I've had, people on from that organization. We've talked about that and that there's 10 top retailers that are being asked to do that. And I do know, you know, I've been in some of these stores like Target and I've noticed over the years that there are less toxic chemicals, but there's still more that can be taken off the shelves.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of, letting retailers and manufacturers know that we want toxic-free products and just, you know, consumers have a lot of power and if we don't buy those toxic products, they'll stop making them. And I, you know, I've been doing this, you've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for a long time. Washington Toxics has been doing this for a long time. And don't you see that even though there's still a long way to go, that we have made progress?
We're definitely seeing response, you know, from manufacturers and from retailers. You know, just last week there was a big announcement from, I think it was Procter & Gamble, that they're phasing triclosan and phthalates out of their products.
Yay!
So these, you know, these companies are starting to see that consumers want safer products and products that they can feel confident in. And, you know, I think the retailers are also, you know, they're sensitive to that, and that's why you know, we're working with Mind the Store to really target these real retailers and ask them to stop selling products that contain any of these 100 toxic chemicals that we're asking them to phase out.
Yes, I agree. I'm working with them too. I think it's a great idea. I would like to see that to happen because I would really, you know, I've spent 30 years trying to help consumers recognize the difference between a toxic product and a non-toxic product. But what I'd really like is to be out of a job and yeah. to just be able to walk into any store at any time and know that anything that I look at on the shelf is something that's safe to buy.
Yeah.
And that's really where we should be because all the technology exists to do that. And there's no reason why we need toxic chemicals. And it's just a matter of choice, marketing, understanding, all those things. But I do see times are changing. Times are changing. And I think that there's a lot more awareness than there used to be. So at the end of your report, you have some recommendations. You want to tell us what those are?
Sure. One thing that we like to recommend to people is, of course, get involved and talk to your local policymakers and your national policymakers, your Congress members, to pass toxic chemical policy changes that will keep these chemicals out of products that we use every day. So just get involved and become active. We also recommend that other states pass reporting requirement laws because the information that we got from the Children's Safe Products Act has just been really great information to have if it's hard to look at and hard to realize that there's so many products that have toxic chemicals. This is still really important for us to all to know as consumers. It's also really important for policymakers to know this as well. And that in addition to, you know, looking at the national, federal chemical policy situation, we need to change TSCA and reform TSCA, but we also need to be able to work on protecting people at the state level. And states should be able mm-hmm. to take action to get toxic chemicals out of products. And again, we really support the Mind the Store campaign, and we call on retailers to take toxic chemicals off their shelves.
Sometimes I feel like walking around with a little roll of stickers and just that say right. toxic and just put them on the shelves.
Right.
Guerrilla advertising.
That's been done too. The other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, as Nancy was saying, we're recommending that other states pass similar policies that would at least, you know, give us that first step of getting the information. And mm-hmm. a number of states did consider that type of legislation last year. So, you know, if people are interested in getting involved at the state level where we are really seeing a lot of change, they can go to the saferstates.org website and see what's happening in other states, what organizations are active that they can start to work with. And there's also actually a great article on the homepage of that website right now about this type of law, what's happened in Washington and other states.
That's great to know about. Good. See, there's all this activity going on. We are going to get these toxic chemicals out of products. I am sure of it. I am sure of it. In my lifetime. In my lifetime. So we only have about a minute left. Is there any final words you'd like to say, each of you?
Well, I would just like to say thanks for having us on the show. It's really great to be here.
You're welcome.
And also, again, we'd love to ask people to check out our website. It's watoxics.org, W-A-Toxics, and we have tons of information on there, including lots of recommendations. We did just do an email newsletter about some things that you can do about addressing the situation of toxic chemicals in clothing. So if you can go to our website and search for toxics in my T-shirt, then you'll get a few recommendations that we have for parents. And just thanks for having us, and happy Pollution Prevention Week.
Happy Pollution Prevention Week to you, too. Okay, so did both of you say something? Yes, I couldn't tell. Yes, I think you did. Okay, well, we just have a few seconds left, so thank you very much for being with us. Everybody should go to Washington's Toxics Coalition website, which is watoxics.org. Sign up for their newsletter, make a donation, help them do their work, because they're the ones that are like doing the research about toxic chemicals, health effects, where they are in products, and all of those kinds of things. You can also go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. You can find out who else is going to be on this week, and you can also listen to past shows. We've got all kinds of great guests just like these, people who are making products, who are selling products, who are reporting on products, who are investigating products. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and I'm Deborah Lynn Badd.